He had an aunt that passed away, so I think he's on his way to Texas this morning. So we need to remember him and his aunt's family in our prayers this morning. Announcements this morning. Be sure and fill out the RSVP for the Wednesday night supper. I noticed this Wednesday night it's turkey and dressing, so that should be a good meal. Other than that, if you could just read in your bulletins. Also, Brother Larry wants to know if you did not get one of these Lent 2007 devotionals last week, if you could please raise your hand right now. Jim will pass, give you a copy. Just raise your hand if you didn't get a copy last week. And also, be sure and sign the register for your attendance today. And our Daily Bread, the new ones are here for March, April, and May. So they're over there on that table in the old hallway, what I call the old hallway. I guess what's the proper name for it?
Some there. They're scattered around.
Okay, so they're everywhere. Sonia? Okay, so just see Sonia, if you can help out, that Grace Works on Saturday. Are there any other announcements? Sherry? Any other announcements? Any other announcements? Do you have anything? Okay. Prayer and praise request. Like I just mentioned, we need to remember Steve Allamore's family and the death of his aunt. Are there others that we want to mention? Any praise requests, prayer requests?
Real close with the pastor for the Millers and the Bunn Mansions, and he passed away on Monday.
I work with someone who married her daughter, baptized her children. I work with her, and she was very sad. And she said he was a man that gave, that a lot of people didn't know behind the scenes he did a lot of things. Are there any others? If not, as we bow our heads for a moment of silence, just remember to use this time to make yourself available to God and His Word. Lift up in His prayer to His throne the concerns which have been spoken. Would you bow your heads for a moment of silence? Heather and Jesse, her name is when I'm at. Will y'all light the candles, please? Thank you, ladies. We begin our service this morning with our call to worship. It is a short, responsive one in your bulletin, so if you will turn, please. It's from Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge,
fortress, my God, in whom I trust.
Hymn 17.
Blessing with
about him really says it all, or seems to say it all, about his people, God's people, coming before him and offering praise. We are his servants. He is our master, and we are called to publish his name. Lord God, as we have assembled in your name, we want to be faithful to what you would expect of us and what you have made us into, that we might give glory and honor to you and your kingdom and your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for calling us away from a life of unprofitableness. And Lord, calling us into your kingdom. Thank you for sending Jesus to be the one who made it possible. And now, Lord, as we have assembled in your name, that your Spirit so dwell with us and so move in us, that your name would truly be glorified. And now, Lord, we come praying that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and put into words that which you believe.
As we express our faith now by the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Thank you. You may be seated. We come to the part of our service where we confess our sins. Our call to confession today comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 38, verse 18. I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Now, if y'all will say with me the prayer of confession. God of mercy, you sent Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are stained and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to passive righteousness, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our assurance of forgiveness, in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace.
His name is wonderful.
Glory. Asking me what song I was going to sing this morning, and I emailed her back and I said, it's always a last minute decision based on whether I'm a baritone or soprano that morning. So I haven't quite figured out yet what I am this morning, but we're going to see. Shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous
told Sam, I said, I didn't care what she sounded like, either one, she still sounded better than me, so it didn't matter which one she chose. Thank you, Kim. It's always a blessing to hear your gift of music to us. Thank you. We come to our time where we express our thanks to God by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Our offertory sentence today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Could I have our ushers come forward at this time?
Those of you who are not on the Grace Team email list, I sometimes send out little snippets, you might call them. And once I sent one out that said, thank God for the little things, like putting your feet on the floor in the morning and for ladybugs. Well, Kim wrote me back and said, how about thousands of them? So we do sometimes have a problem with ladybugs. But they're really harmless and beautiful little creatures. So we thank you, Lord. What are you thankful for today? I'm thankful that we have, I think it's called an autonomous nervous system that makes us breathe when we're asleep and heartbeat when we're asleep. With things we don't even think about. That's how God made us. How can we thank Him enough?
565.
scripture lesson today will be read by Leanne Justice.
Our scripture lesson today comes from Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. With great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders, he brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you in your household. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Noticed the writer, composer of that song was We might call him our own Dwight Lyles. Dwight is a minister in Columbia Presbytery. Actually, he interviewed for a job here once as music director back in the mid-80s, I believe it was. And now he is at Mount Joy Church, became a minister after that, and went through the proper training and went to his home church, which is so very difficult to do. And went to his home church, and the church is out in the boonies, kind of, if you know where Mount Joy Community is, and doing a very, very remarkable job as pastoring those people and preaching to them and working in the community. I want us to think about offerings or think about our tithes this morning. October is often the month that many churches talk about a tithe, but let us think about it here in February. Offering the first fruits. Offering the first fruits, or the tithe of the first fruits. Before we get to the sermon, this sermon has something to do with self-denial. And self-denial is traditionally associated with the season of Lent. Remembering Jesus' denial of self when he went into the wilderness for 40 days following his baptism, and the temptations that came to him, and he could have had everything poured out to him, but he says, no, no. We have printed, we passed it out last week, and some of you may not have been here, a daily devotional, Lent 2007 devotionals. We have found 45 plus miracles of Jesus and thought about one thing. We wouldn't be denying ourselves, but we would be blessing ourselves by studying on our own in a personal way the miracles of Jesus, or the miracles surrounding his life, some of them before he was born, concerning his conception and then his ascension. Well, he was there, but God did that. His resurrection, God raised him up, but that was a miracle. So some of these little Lent 2007 devotionals, they're right back on that chair. What a place to put them, but that's the best place we had last Sunday and this Sunday. And if you want a Lent 2007 devotional and a list of miracles of Jesus. And I think if you find a mistaken reference, I tried to check every one of them, but I could have overlooked them. Overlooked one that wasn't right. So I call your attention to that. You can deny yourself a little time, but in the process you will bless yourself greatly. I believe we will bless ourselves by a little special Bible study, and this time a special Bible study concerning the miracles surrounding our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are many more miracles in the Bible, but these are the ones that he was involved in. Additional reading this morning, in addition to the Deuteronomy passage, is Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 13, and that is the temptation story of Jesus. We also find it in Matthew chapter 4. And then I call your attention to Paul's statement to the Romans about confessing, believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, Jesus is Lord and we shall be saved. And because with the heart we believe and with the mouth we confess our faith in Jesus Christ. So I call your attention to that passage also. I hope this morning to inform and challenge concerning the tithe, which is one aspect, and only one aspect, of self-denial. It's a little more than giving up a soda pop if you're from the North, or a Coke if you're from the South. A soda pop or a Coke a day. The historical background for this passage is it's the final discourse of Moses. We have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and the book of Deuteronomy is Moses is kind of recounting some things and restating the laws. And verse chapter 5 through 27 of Deuteronomy is he rehearses or rehashes or presents again or proclaims again, however you want to say it, the laws that God has given him. We found the Ten Commandments back in the fifth chapter, and then the various supportive laws or interpretation of those Ten Commandments in the following chapters. So, rehearsal of the laws given by God, God's law, given to Moses at Mount Sinai, where we talked about the face of Moses glowing or shining. He even had to put a veil over his face, when he came down and met with the people after being in the presence of God. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. Lent begins each year with Ash Wednesday, and that's about 46 days prior to Easter, and it was set aside by the church, leaders of the church, years and years and years, centuries ago, that would have a time to kind of get our hearts right for Easter. The church often training candidates for membership or seekers for church membership during the Lenten season. So today is the first Sunday. Lent began Wednesday. Time for preparing to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, the Savior, not just another man. Jesus taught if we would... Let's see if I can help you a little. Jesus taught if we would be His disciples, or if we're going to be His people, does that hurt or distract? Does it help or distract? Help or hurt? I hope it helps, but I almost forgot to leave the point. He thought that if we would be His disciples, we should deny ourselves and we should take up our cross and follow Him daily. So part of His teaching was self-denial. Don't do everything for yourself. Do things for the one who made you. Do things for God. Deny ourselves, take up a cross. And He said the Christian life is often a life of bearing a cross. And that's not, I've heard it all of my life, and I think I must say it every time we talk about the cross. It's not wearing a gold piece of metal made into a cross around our neck. That's wearing a cross, but there's not much difficulty in bearing that cross. Crosses were for dying on. They were the lowest way to die in the Roman world. The worst people, the worst criminal. It was a shame. Are we going to hear about that Wednesday night? Savetta's going to talk about the shame of the cross Wednesday night, I believe. Or going to mention that. We've already talked about her message for Wednesday night. Not that I have to approve them, but she came and said, what about this? What about this? We were in agreement. But also by example, Jesus taught us to deny self. And you can find that in Luke chapter 4, that we've also called your attention to. Luke chapter 4 as an additional scripture or a supportive scripture for denying self. We are a society that does not like to think very much about self-denial, do we? Even if we had to walk to the neighbor's house, what would we think? Mama, can you drive us? Many women I hear spend most of their time, from the time school is out till way after a normal supper time, hauling their children around. And you who are 50 or above, did your parents haul you around like that? We had to get there the best way we could, or we didn't go. But we, and us parents have done it, and we did it too at our house. We thought we could not deny our children any opportunity, right? And we're kind of geared to give them everything that we can and every opportunity that we can. And then there comes that great awakening somewhere down the way that life is not like that. It's not a bed of roses. Mama is not always there to cart us around or to soothe our every need. Is that right? Have any of you discovered that yet? Made that discovery? And teenagers, it will come. I don't know where it will be unless you live next door to Mama and Daddy. We don't like to think about self-denial. Why shouldn't we? We live in one of the most prosperous communities, counties, in the United States of America, which is the most prosperous country in the world, the greatest land. Why should we? Because one reason is we need to learn about denial of self. We don't need to have everything at our fingertips. We don't need to be fed by someone holding a silver spoon. Where did all that come from? Going way back, aren't we? It's good to learn to deny self. It's character building, if you will. If you want to build character. We are so blessed with every blessing available. We are so blessed with every blessing available. Spiritual, we have every opportunity concerning spiritual matters. We have the church and the ministries of the church. If you can't find it at this church, there's another church that we can go and participate in down the road somewhere. That's, they may have a bigger program. I'm not sure all of our quote programs are all of that spiritual, but hopefully there's a spiritual current holding them up and the spiritual reason for doing them. And we try to get spirituality into every activity. Even going to South America and working there on a construction site. It's a spiritual aspect of that. And we can find that in Ezra and Nehemiah when they're building the temple. Building the city walls and the gate. That's just one place we can look to find it. But everything that we do should have a spiritual cause or purpose. And then material benefits, we have everything that we need. And sometimes it doesn't, but our abundance is cause for us to share what we have, because we cannot handle it all. We don't need it all. We need to share that which we have. Give it away, if you will. This congregation has a great record of giving. May have got ahead of myself. This congregation has a great record of giving. I pulled up the annual report, and if I find we had a total income last year, and where does the income come from? It comes from the people in the church and a few outside gifts that come in. But we had $248,194 that came into this church last year. And I'm not sure all... Does that include this and does that include that? You'd have to go and ask Charlie Thomas about that. But we gave away what we call outreach giving. $36,682 and some cents. It's about $10,000, $8,000, $10,000 more than we gave away in 2005. And then expenses other than our outreach giving was $188,000. Now that doesn't all add up to $248,000, so somebody else will have to tell you what all was included in there. And I think I know, but I won't tell you publicly. We can go ask Charlie about it. There's no secret to it. at 188,000 plus 36,000, and then, but the total income that came through the treasury was 248 for about 150 people. We count active about 147 people, I think. That's pretty good, isn't it? So y'all have done wonderful. You have responded. Don't know if you've given 10% or not. Not question that. That's between you and God, and we know that's the goal. Maybe 20%, but I don't keep up with what y'all give. I have to be concerned about mine and pay the goal, and I don't know what people give. Sometimes people come and tell me, kind of, you know, I learn by accident, then I try to forget, okay? But the congregation is great in giving, and giving away stuff. We take a percentage of our tithe, of our income, and give it away. Now, if it's a special gift, we don't. If it's designated giving, we don't. But if it's undesignated giving, what we call general income or regular offering, is there any offering that's irregular, I guess? Regular offering, or Sunday to Sunday, we give 10% of that away to denominational causes, and we give other money to presbyterial causes. And then we give other to people come by and need gas or food or whatever. And then we sent some to fix children's hair lips. Is that the thing? Stuff like that through the outreach committee. And so that's where the money goes. But $36,000. So I affirm you. I pat you on the back for it if you need to be. You have given. Don't stop. Don't stop. There's more to do. Concerning the tithe, God spoke through Moses, instructing his people, God's people. Moses was just the leader of them, concerning their giving unto him and his work a portion of the fruits of their labor. And the lesson today is about first fruits. There are other references to first fruits, and you have it on your handout there, your insert, the other references, Exodus 23, Exodus 34, and it says, it doesn't say, this is nice if you want to. God's word says, thou shalt observe. In other words, it belongs to him. And he's going to get it one way or another, and he's not mean about it, but we're just better off if we give. It's more beneficial to us if we give. We feel better, we do better. We have paid the debt that we owe. And then Leviticus 27 and Numbers 18. And you have all those notes right there before you. Numbers 18:21. Matthew Henry, this old theologian that back in the 70s, somebody gave me a book for my birthday. One volume of Matthew Henry's commentary, and I've used it and wore it out almost, and then somebody gave me another one. Somebody died and had one, and their family passed this one over to me. But he made a statement concerning, I guess, every verse in the Bible. And he says concerning this offering, and that we find in what? The 26th chapter of Deuteronomy, here is a good work ordered to be done. Or God gave orders to do this good work. It's not something that's terrible. It's not like cleaning out a septic tank. But sometimes when we talk about a tithe, people say, oh, that's terrible to do that. But is it a good work to be done? A good work to be done. It is presenting a basket of fruit to God every year. How about that? I read this, and you know, I've read the Bible. I've read it through. But when you go back to think about preaching on it, my goodness, if you dwell on it for about a week or 2 weeks, and it just comes alive. Bringing a basket of fruit. And it talks about putting the fruit from the first fruits into a basket, and taking the leaves off of the plant and separating each fruit with the leaves, one fruit from the other. And then when a man went into the field or the vineyard at the time when the fruits were becoming ripe, he was to mark that which he observes to be the most forward or the most choice or the choicest fruits. And to lay it by for first fruits. And then it's even named what they would give. be it wheat. These were farming people. They were agrarian people, if you will. It was wheat and barley and grapes. Wow! Did y'all eat breakfast? I skipped it this morning. Wheat and barley and grapes and figs. You like figs? Fig Newtons, anyway. That's what most of us know about figs. I was talking about eating figs once, and people over at Madison said, "Figs? You've never eaten any figs. They don't grow where you grew up." And I said, "Yeah, they do. And they do down a little further south. But any of you have a fig tree around here?" Not around here, right? Never seen one in Middle Tennessee. I haven't. But go down south, Arkansas, even South Carolina, warmer place, and get some. Louisiana, way down there. Oh, so good to pull a fig off of a tree and kind of dust it off. And it's better than a Fig Newton, a whole lot better, isn't it, Brenda? Brenda's lived there. She knows where they are. And then pomegranates. Now, I don't know anything about pomegranates. Who ever raised any pomegranates? You have to get them at Kroger or Publix or something, don't you? Wherever you're going. Olives and dates and date cake. Some of each were to be put in the basket and then presented to God in the place that God would choose. And that they hadn't settled then on a place where the temple would be. They were still in a tabernacle. They hadn't even got there yet. Moses didn't even get into the promised land, but God was going to choose the place for it to be brought to. It ended up being Jerusalem, the temple there. And they were supposed to put all the fruit in there. And that's like us putting our coins, I guess, writing our checks, a portion of our paycheck. Henry says that from this law we may learn, and he says three things, to acknowledge God as the giver of all the good things. All good things. It was good. He created it. It was good. Go back to Genesis. God's the giver of all good things. Things which support us. Things which comfort us. Think of a feather bed or something like that. In our natural life or in our physical life. And you look at verse 1, if you will, from this passage. Look at verse 1. The Lord is giving you a land. The Lord is giving you a land. When you have entered the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Enter the land that the Lord your God is giving you. God was going to give them a land. They're going to have to go in and take it. But as you read Joshua, you can see how miraculously it was taken till they got complacent and quit. They quit along the way. Verse 8 talks about God bringing us out of the place that they were, the place of bondage. And then verse 9, God is bringing us to this place. And that was supposed to be part of the proclamation when you come and brought your offering. God brought us out of this place. I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that He brought us to this place, this land of milk and honey. Basically, from verse 5 through verse 8, is it verse 8? Yeah, or 9. It's a recitation of what God has done for us in the past. That's what the Israelites were going to talk about when they got into the land. Now, none of them who were in Egypt made it to the promised land. Or none of them who left Egypt made it to the promised land, because they all died on the way. Okay. I wonder if we can apply this passage to our life. What God has done for us, to ourselves. How did we get here? Did we get here by our own efforts, or did we get here by God's blessing upon us? God's direction, God touching us and moving us along. And then there's a lesson here about denying self. What is first ripe is what we are most fond of. And thinking about this, I kept thinking about new potatoes. How many have ever lived on had a garden and planted potatoes? And somewhere along the way, you take a fork out of the kitchen. It's a kitchen fork. You don't want to dig up that potato plant, but you go out and dig kind of into the side. You've done this? Yeah, North Carolina people have, and dig under there and pull off a few potatoes about that big.
No potato has ever tasted any better than that new potato when you go in and cook them. And then you don't run the plant, you cover it back up and it keeps growing and those other potatoes get big. That's the first fruits. Now, I grew up eating those. We didn't think about taking them to the church. We were not church people when I was growing up. But the Lord says, take this first fruit and give them to the Lord. And those first green beans, remember those first green beans that you go out and pick, go in and cook? Aren't they more special than other green beans? New potatoes, green beans, and rather than eat them, these belong to the Lord. But can we resist? Can we resist keeping for ourselves that first fruits that come in? And then there's a lesson here about giving God the first and the best that we have. Those who consecrate the days of their youth. Those who consecrate the prime of their time to the service and the honor of God. Bringing them to the Lord are bringing their first fruits. A song I remember says it so plainly, and it wasn't in this new hymnal, but it's give of your best to the master. And Howard wrote, Gerald Essie wrote that. And then the music is by Charlotte Barnard. But give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh growing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. And then it goes on, one verse says, nothing else than our best is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom. He gave up his glory above.
We have these words to be said as a tithe is given. Verse 5 through verse 10a.
And he talks about what God has done through the ages. From the time that Jacob went down, that was the Armenian. How do you say that? My father was a wandering Aramean. And he went down into Egypt with 66 people or 70 people. A little disagreement by theologians on that. Not a bad one, just a question of top, what, four people, six people. They went down because there's a famine in the land. And they lived for a number of years. And then the Lord brought them out because times got tough. And brought them out with an outstretched arm. He brought us to the place that he gave us this land. A land flowing with milk and honey. And that was, the guy was supposed to come or the girl was supposed to come and offer the offering to the priest and declare, God has done great things for us, and I want to give him something. And then we have in that, there's the word rejoice. It's not a sad occasion to give away. It's a rejoicing time. A joyful experience to bring the offering before the Lord. But before we give ourselves, first and foremost, God wants. Before we give our tithe, first and foremost, God wants us. And he sent Jesus to make it possible for us to become his people. He gave the ultimate sacrifice, his son, Jesus. Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice, his life. Paid for our sin on the cross of Calvary. Let's sing 367. It's a song about where he leads, I'll follow. Let's sing verse 1 and 4. Let it be our commitment to God concerning our entire life. The first fruits of our life, if you will. 367. Thank you.
Thursday, I think, and then the devotional. It started last Wednesday, but you can catch up pretty easily. Lord God, send us forth, glorifying you, remembering that all that we have is from your hand. All that we are, you made. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
the people found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Teacher, when did you get here?"
I am telling you the truth.